It's a beautiful day on the internet, a beautiful day where the geeks all met. Would you be one? Could you be one? Hello, neighbor. Welcome to my internet. I'm so glad you could join me today. Today we're going to the special land of make-believe called the Podosphere. That's right. That's where the very special group of people called podcasters live. It's a magical, whimsical world where anything can happen, and the podcasters think it's real. Oh, look. Here comes the magic trolley. Hello, trolley. Our first stop is a very special podcast called Technorama, the land of two kings, and they both think they are the important one. Are you ready, trolley? Let's go see King Chuck and King Craig. I mean, welcome to Technorama. Tune in for the intro, get sucked in for the rest of the show. This is show number 80, or 50 if you're counting in hex, or 120 if you're counting in octal. For February 2nd, 2006, happy Groundhog's Day. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man who refuses to wear a polyester suit to this day, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. I just took off the leisure suit.
Leisure suit, Larry.
Yeah. Hey, bam.
Right back at you, Disco Stew. We've got a big show coming up tonight.
Yeah.
A really big shoe. We've got as I fiddle around with control knobs and things, we've got
I'm gonna talk about my Commodore a little bit because we had somebody ask about it.
Lionel Richie?
Not the Commodores.
Oh.
You goof. The Commodore.
We've also got robots, giveaways, editors, and tons of other cool stuff. So stick around. We'll be right back after On This Day in Tech History.
Yes.
And, oh, here comes the trolley. On This Day in Tech History for February 2nd, 2006. This is February 2nd. It's the 33rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 332 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1848, the first ship with Chinese immigrants seeking fortune in California's gold country arrived in San Francisco. And on this date in 1870, it's revealed that the famed Cardiff Giant was just carved gypsum and not the petrified remains of a human. The first electric streetlight is installed in Wabash, Indiana on this date in 1880. And in 1882, the Knights of Columbus are formed in New Haven, Connecticut. On this date in 1887, in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, the first Groundhog Day is observed. Dog sleds reach Nome, Alaska with diphtheria serum, inspiring the Iditarod race on this date in 1925. 10 years later, the polygraph machine is tested for the first time. Leonard Keeler conducts the experiment in Portage, Wisconsin. And it was on this date 44 years ago in 1962. For the first time in 400 years, Neptune and Pluto align. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1802 to Jean-Baptiste Boussignol, the French chemist. and François Alphonse Forel, the Swiss hydrologist, was born on this date in 1841. And Star Trek's Data, Brent Spiner, turns 57 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for February 2nd, 2006.
This is Steve Holden from TechNewsRadio.com, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig of Technorama Podcast.
You want to talk about Commodores, right?
Uh-huh.
All right, before
Wait a minute. I got a question for you first.
Yes, sir.
The Knights of Columbus. What did that have to do with tech?
Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492?
I kept thinking, we're the knights that go, nee, nee.
Honestly, I have no idea. I must have made an editing mistake when I was filtering things out and just left that in. And like Anchorman, if it's on the script, I'll read it.
Yeah.
I know you've tried to slip in a couple of silly ones on me. It's like, I'm not reading that.
Wait till April Fool's.
We have a voicemail.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we have no email this time. Well, nothing worth reading as part of the show. K.O. Wright, our longtime listener from Hawaii, sends this in.
Oh, and by the way, I forgot.
Wait a minute, I better explain. That wasn't a half-cut message. There was two messages that she tried putting on the Skype answering machine. And the first one was about 20 seconds of nothing, and 2 seconds of, so Chuck and Craig, do you, and that was it. So this one starts out as, oh, by the way. So you'll have to excuse that part.
Craig, do you have, did you used to use like a C60, a Commodore C64 system? If so, what was it like? Anyway, talk to you guys later, or listen to you guys later, whichever. Bye.
It was like butter.
Tell me, Craig, what was it like?
It was nothing like it could ever... No,
wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know what I mean? What was it like?
Did you ever have one, Chuck?
I was in the Apple gang. I was not part of the Commodore 64. I was an Apple II person.
Forget you.
Hey, they were both Motorola processors, at least.
No, actually, I thought the early Apples were cool. No, the Commodore... Man, I got that... I got mine. I know there's a bunch of people that listen to the show that's had these... But I got mine at Christmas 1 year, and I would stay up and program on that thing. I bet during the school day, I would spend like 8 hours still on that once I got home to the night. I mean, you turn it on, it was blue screen, you type in the code, and it was just basic programming right off the bat. You could do some, you know, simple assembly stuff, setting registers to... You know, to do all kinds of little things like changing the colors of the screen and making sounds. And as far as sounds go, the audio was top of the line at the time.
Oh, it was much better than the Apple.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really could shine a light at that. That was the pinnacle of that machine right there. And that was the first machine I ever listened to an encoded digital song on. Do you know what song I heard? I think we talked about this a long time ago.
Run it by me again. I'm drawing a blank.
Well, my friend brought over his floppy. He says, dude, you got to listen to this. He put it in, brings it up, and he plays it. It was Everybody is Kung Fu Fighting.
MIDI or was it the actual song digitized?
No, it was the song digitized. But the problem was the file was corrupt or something like that. They go, whoa, 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 whoa. And then they get to the end and go, everybody was kung fu fighting. And I was like, what?
And to this day, when you hear that song, you expect that there, don't you?
Yep, I sure do. But we had so much fun. We did trade software between each other. But, I mean, it was just something. I wrote program. Like, you remember the show V?
Yes.
Okay. I wrote a game kind of like based like Pitfall, but where you have to go get in the mothership, retrieve some hostage and get back out, and even got the little shuttles flying. I did all this on the Commodore in BASIC. I mean, I would program on that thing like crazy. I loved it.
So that's what happened. That was
that's what happened. It stunted my growth.
It wasn't the lead paint.
Yeah, but I swear that thing's off. I talked about the C64 emulator in the browser the other week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I forget what show that was on. But they had some really cool games on there, and you kind of get an idea what things were like. They had some really good games for the time. Really did.
Hey, I want to give a quick shout out to the people in the chat room. We've got a. All right. They're getting crazy on us. We've got Tim Elliott.
Yeah. Okay.
Mark Shepard, Joni, Jeep and Dave, Zahodoom, Daniel, Lingo, Scott R., and Mark Shepard has changed his name to Chat Room Bouncer.
You know what? I'm waiting for one day we go look at the list of names and they all set them to the same.
But they before I left, they said, okay, let's change all our names around. So when he does the shout-out thing, they're all nuts. Thanks, guys.
There's no telling what they do in there.
Well, while we're on the subject of Commodores and bouncing back a little bit to KO, KO's friend Kelly Sapergia, we've mentioned him before. He's got a podcast. He started doing a podcast, short little thing. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. Very interesting, and the tie-in here is that he was playing some of the songs that were made from Commodore 64 music, or Commodore sound effects and games and things. They're making music out of that stuff now.
I know. I saw that. I'll have to go check that out. I downloaded it, but I had not listened to it yet.
It's not bad. The first one was about 12 or 13 minutes, not terribly long, but mm-hmm. kind of an introductory show with some content to it. Take a listen if you're interested. Quality's excellent. The content is not too bad. It'd be interesting to subscribe to it and follow it along as it matures, as we all do.
That's cool. Hey, and by the way, day 9.
Without heartburn?
I'm getting choked up.
Day 9 of your PayPal fiasco.
Today. Which should be Thursday. Day 9 should be on my PayPal fiasco, and I should have some more information on that by Sunday. I'm hoping to get the L resolved.
Woohoo!
Yes.
Also in the
take a drink of water.
Also in the follow-uppers, the 10th planet is bigger than Pluto.
Yes, I just read this, and they were talking about the study that they produced or they did on this particular planet they just finished. They believe that it is actually larger than Pluto. So, if they do not call this a planet,
then they can't.
I mean, how can you justify not calling this a planet if they call Pluto one?
Well, they're saying that maybe we shouldn't have called Pluto a planet. But how do you take back a status like that? Oh no!
I don't know. But they were throwing
object floating around out there.
Anyway, they were throwing out some other names, like they were going to call it outer dwarf planets or something like that. I don't know. y'all are fishing.
Which one is that? The 10th planet? Was that 2003 UB40?
Red UB40. Wine.
Oh. I'm killing them tonight.
Red wine. No, it's UB313.
That sounds more like an antiperspirant to me.
Actually,
stay dry with UB313.
It's those harmful gases that's released in the air. Destroys the ozone.
Destroys the ozone, yeah. And cool stuff. We were talking about GPSs. We've done two segments of the three that I've got on recording. GPS on a USB stick now. You found this.
Yes, it's all self-contained. I think it said, I saw two reports. One of them said it takes two AA's or two AAA's or something like
two
that.
Two AAA's, yep.
Yeah, and what it does is it keeps it's like a USB thumb drive. It keeps all the data from the GPS device on it. So as it's just traveling around, there's no display or anything, so you don't see any of that. But so you can put it in a package, ship it, and see where the package actually went. Little cool stuff like that.
Cool. How mm-hmm. how often does it sample, or is that programmable?
I guess it's programmable. I don't know. I haven't looked at all the details of it. I just saw this and I thought it was pretty cool.
And the price?
I didn't look at the details. It was like, I found it on Frugal and on eBay for like $250.
That's not bad. I'm doing a quick search on Amazon. Amazon's got it for $350.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yes, it's called a USB 1.1/2 AAA's. Yeah. And, you know, you could throw it in your kid's backpack, and they probably wouldn't know.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Track your kids or, you know, do like the spy shows and put a magnet on it and stick it to somebody's car.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those people, when they're peeling out of your driveway, you can just throw it and bang.
Just like Obi-Wan did.
Yeah.
Throw it onto Boba Fett or Jenga Fett's ship, and then you can track them across the universe.
Yeah, and then you woke up.
All right. Ruin my fun. Is that typewriter getting longer, or is that my imagination?
Both.
Okay.
Sorry, man. I don't know what's wrong with my throat.
He's hacking. He's hacking.
Yeah.
We're not at our hacking segment yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. I've run out of top 10 ways to destroy the world or the Earth, so I found another top 10 list. This one is the top 10 movie robots of all time, and it just kind of caught my interest. Number 10 is Mechagodzilla.
Yes.
Come on. That's a cheap... Well, that's why he's at number 10, I guess.
Cheap.
Mechagodzilla. Come on. Number 9, right. Robot Gunslinger. And one of the worst robots I've ever seen, but okay, we'll go with that.
That's from the... what was that? What's that movie? I was looking for the movies from...
Is the Gunslinger played Coldly Force? But Yul Brynner played that. Wow, I didn't know that. Okay. You're looking for the movie title?
Yeah, I was trying to remember what it was.
It's Brynner spoofing his own character from The Magnificent Seven. Number 8 is the birthday boy himself, Data, Brent Spiner.
I still can't believe he's 57.
That's probably why they had to kill him in Nemesis.
Oh, by the way, that's Westworld. That's what it was.
Number 7, Johnny 5 from...
More input. Johnny 5.
From...
Oh, from Short Circuit.
Right. Number 6 is Gort from Gort. The Day the Earth Stood Still. You know, the tall, silvery Gort. Dude who comes out. Number 5 is, of course, Robbie the Robot. You know, they don't have the one from Lost in Space on here, unfortunately. Number 4, the Iron Giant.
Yes, that's one of my favorite movies. That thing's awesome.
That was good. It took me a while to warm up to that movie, but it's...
I love that movie.
Number 3 is Arnold in all of the Terminator movies.
All of them? Okay.
That says the Terminators.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay.
He's the Model T-800. If you go downstairs, I probably still have a T-3000 telebit modem. Working on that Terminator thing.
Is it morph and shapeshift?
It's made of liquid paper. Number 2 is, oh boy, I'm going to have fun with this, Der Maschinian Mensch.
This is the robot that Millennium?
Metropolis.
Metropolis, I mean.
Yeah.
Millennium. This is the robot that they modeled C-3PO after.
Really?
Yeah.
Kind of the female version of C-3PO. And, of course, number 1, we've already given away. R2-D2 and C-3PO hold the number 1 spot.
What, do they get paired together because they're together so much?
We're not going to go into their preferences.
They're joined to the gears? That's enough. That's quite enough, R2. That's quite enough, R2.
Keep your circuits on. We're going to give a special mention to Douglas over... Career Opportunities, the High-Tech Career Handbook. He's having a contest, as are we, which we will mention later in the show, but it's a different contest.
Yes.
He writes us an email and says, please pass this on. I will be accepting entries from 12:01 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, Monday, January 30th, 2006. That means it's already in gear.
So if you go back in time, remember that. You have to wait 1 minute after midnight.
We've already done that gag, haven't we?
Marty, we need to go back in time.
Doc, I need some lightning.
1.21 gigawatts.
I smell a new intro coming up. He'll be accepting these for 2 weeks through 12 midnight Pacific, Monday, February 13th. I'll post the winners on the Career Opportunities blog on February 14th, 2006. It's my birthday, so I might as well give something away to balance out the presents I will get. That's nothing like how Douglas talks, but it was just fun to do that.
Hey, y'all. Shazam.
Should I do a Douglas impression?
Yes, do. I want to hear.
You're going to get me in trouble.
Me? You're the one that suggested it.
To enter this contest, simply send an email to radical@weltright.com. One entry per person, please. Six people will be randomly chosen to receive a copy. You want to try it?
No.
Six people will be randomly chosen to receive a copy of Radical Careering.
Hey, I smell another intro.
Now we're in trouble. And finally, from the news desk, something that everybody should be aware of.
Yes, there is an update to Firefox to 1.5.0.1. I think it just came out recently, like today. So I don't know what's wrong with my voice. I was able to update, go to help, and click on check for updates. It installs the patch if you are already running 1.5. Done.
Ta-da! All right. Our Hacks and Strange Stories, we still have no rejoiner, so we'll just do...
Can you please play something?
I'm going to find something. I had an idea.
An ID. We got a million of them.
An ID. You want an ID?
Yeah, so I can take a drink of water.
All right. I had one lined up. This is called... Here.
This is how the professionals do it, folks.
You are listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Was that enough time to take a drink of water?
Thank you.
No, that wasn't one of our more famous sweepers. That was Stephen Hawking. Wasn't he great?
He had a voice upgrade.
That was before the upgrade. All right. Steam-powered toys. I found a website that had all kinds of RC toys, but they're all steam-powered. They have little combustion chambers, and
reminds me of?
What?
This reminds me of, the Wild Wild West with Will Smith.
Oh, yeah, kind of does.
With the steam spider thing.
The big spider thing, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to put a link on there. You can look at them.
They're cool. Well, one of them is a steam train.
Yep.
And it's, instead of wheels, it's got the little centipede type legs on it. Well, it says centipede right there. I should take a clue from that.
Hey, our old buddy Jenkins dropped by. He wanted to pass on some advice. We're not sure you want to rush out and get this product, though, but we thought it would be a fun endorsement.
Yeah, he's doing spokesperson work.
Catch the Asian sensation that's sweeping the nation. The beer in a dark, opaque bottle. Hocken Hefeweizen. Hocken sounds German, but make no mistake, it's from Asia. Every part of Asia. In fact, it's microbrewed just about everywhere and includes almost everything as ingredients. No two bottles taste quite the same. Some beers are cold filtered. Hocken isn't filtered at all. In fact, you'll want to use a strainer when you pour it in your glass.
Is that fur?
The Hocken six-pack comes with a special collection dish and a toothpick.
You know what owls do after eating a mouse?
Try Hocken Hefeweizen today. And you'll never be the same. Hocken Hefeweizen. So thick you can eat it with a fork. But use a spoon to get every drop.
This is Dr. Pamela Gay from Slacker Astronomy, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi on Chuck Chat.
What text editors do you use?
Wait a minute. I'm still trying to get over that.
What, the Hocken? Are you Hocken?
Ah. Yeah.
I think he swallowed a mouse.
Yeah. Do you know what owls do? Anyway. I just wanted to bring this up and kind of get an idea. You know, we did the screenshot gallery before and...
In the wiki. Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah, in the wiki. Well, I thought, what text editors do you use?
Okay.
Like, for example, in Windows, I'm pretty sold on this PS Pad. It's free. Mm-hmm. I think it's pspad.com you can go to. In Linux and OS X, I use VI pretty well. What do you use, Chuck?
Mostly VI.
Yeah.
If I'm just doing something real quick on Windows, I'll use Notepad if it's a small file.
Notepad.
On the Mac, it's almost exclusively VI.
Yeah. Well, the PS Pad on Windows is pretty quick. You know, bam, comes up, but it's got like features for days. I was even, what's the fake text that you put in for copy? Lipsum Aporum or whatever that is?
Ipso post facto? Something like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I was looking for, I needed to generate some so I could make a PDF the other day.
Okay.
With just to, you know, to test some stuff. And I thought, I bet I'd just use some of that. And I couldn't find it. And today I was like, oh, there's an option in the PS Pad, generate Lepsimorium or whatever that's called. And made, it's like, bam, there it was.
Now, how do we want to do this in the wiki? Do we want people just do it in an outline format, list platforms, and then what editors they use on there?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it like the screenshot thing, and you just go in there, put your name in, and put what you use under it.
And if you can't figure out wiki speak, you copy and paste and change the text, like the rest of us do.
Yeah, I'll go. As a matter of fact, I'll go in right after this, and I'll put mine in.
Okay.
Because I know Kevin Demon was talking about the Crimson Editor. Have you used that?
I have not, no.
I think it's like I looked at it a long time ago, but I haven't used that. He was all excited about it, so maybe he'll put that in there.
I should mention I've used JEdit quite a bit on the Mac. That one's really handy for doing programming, because you can do multiple windows at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Nice graphical thing, colors for the different keywords and things. Very nice.
So show us your editor.
Show us your wares.
Yes.
Here goes Craig again.
All right. This is how the professionals do it. I wanted to rant a little bit. Are you done?
Keep going. I'll mute my mic.
I can't work like this. I'm out of here.
Don't leave him with dead air. All right, rant. All right. I'll be quiet.
Well, I don't really have a whole lot to say about this, but there was a digital rights management conference here recently in London. And I'm trying to figure out who was actually wrote this. Ian Brown. This is off his blog. And he was talking about corporate vice president of Microsoft's Windows Digital Media Division. That's a mouthful right there. Anyway, he was talking about how they kept using the word open on their DRM platform and how it requires licensees to sign an agreement with Microsoft. But here's the kicker. Here's the reason that they said that they charge for their DRM licenses.
Wait. Does open and DRM even go together?
I guess you could have a DRM. Yeah, well, you can have a DRM system. I think some people have tried to make one that was open. As an open source, you could, but kind of like PGP keys.
Okay.
But, in that same vein where you can exchange a key and you'd be able to open it, da, 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 da. But, no, not in this sense, because they charge people for the DRM technology, for one, so it's not really open. But here's the quote that really got me. This is a quote from the guy right out of his lips. "We don't want this technology to be available to every hobbyist. We need to keep the number of licensees down to a manageable level. We charge license fees to keep the number of people we have to deal with down to a level we can handle." What kind of garbage is that?
They don't want support calls? I don't know.
Well, I mean, the thing is, they're trying to force their DRM on people, and then they don't want... I mean, this is, in effect, going to lock out anybody that wants to do anything, Luckily, we have an open, semi-open platform like MP3s to be able to do podcasting, but what if we didn't? You know, we couldn't buy a I mean, you'd have to go buy a license to do DRM or something like that. It's garbage, man.
We'd all be using Ogg Vorbis.
Yeah, well, that would be fine too. But I'm just saying that quote right there just really pissed me off.
Dun dun dun.
All right, I'm done.
Okay.
The box said, requires Windows 95 or better, so I installed Linux.
Hello, this is Guido Tomasi. Of course, we're family. And to Tomasi, there's nothing more important than family. We take care of our own. Now you can take care of Chuck by going to Podcast Alley and voting for Chuck Chat Technorama. It'd be a shame if anything happened to that pretty little iPod of yours.
Hey, we've got another giveaway going on.
Oh, yeah?
We've had really good response to the one that's still going on, I should say, the one for the road trip.
Yeah, this is a totally second one.
This is a second one, so listen up. You are able to enter more than one of these contests at a time. However, I'll probably only pick one winner. But we've got a lot of entries, so that's not likely. I mean, one winner per. I won't have Mark Shepard win this one and this one and this one. So, you know, if I pull Mark Shepard out of the first contest, he's kind of DQ'd from the others, I guess.
Hey, he's not winning any of them.
Why not?
Just kidding.
He pays us good money. Yeah. This is from the good folks at Griffin Technologies. They've also sent us...
Hey, we need to talk offline. Who's paying what?
Griffin has sent us an iTrip Auto. This is a dock connected, works on any dock capable iPod. That's the Nano first, or not for anything, but basically the first, second generation and shuffle. So Nano, third gen, fourth gen, video, photo, all those things that have a dock connector, this will work on them. It's got a cigarette lighter and an FM transmitter. And as I mentioned in earlier shows, keep that FM transmitter warm. Don't let it get below about 50 degrees or the transmission really doesn't work that well. But we thank the people at Griffin, and if you want to buy one yourself, head on over there and get one.
Hey, Chuck, is this the one that you said, or was it the road trip that you can take off and put on a laptop?
No, that's the road trip, yes. You can put on a laptop. This is just a cigarette lighter, goes into a little black box with an LCD, so you can tune to any station, not just four or five, any station. And then the dock connector on the other end. If you want to enter to win this contest, listen up. It's going to be very similar to the other contest. Send email to ChuckChat, a plus sign, that's the little cross on the keyboard, and auto, A-U-T-O, ChuckChat plus auto at gmail.com. And that will go into a different bucket than the other ones. And you are eligible. If you want to put in some nice words in there to, you know, do some brown nosing, that's up to you.
Oh, gosh.
It won't make any effect on the actual voting process, but we love getting it.
If it's not your daughter, you're fishing for something else.
So good luck to everybody. ChuckChat plus auto at gmail.com. And with that, we are out of stuff.
Well, almost. The Lance over at the Digital Experience Podcast is having a live event. He's having a live event. I think it was the 10th. You can find more info at his website, and we'll, of course, have a link for you. He's having Whitney Steele in, and they're going to have music and stuff like that. She sounds great, so definitely go check that out.
And you finally launched your secret project.
I pulled the trigger. Yep, I'm going to Mars. I'm kidding.
Good luck. See ya. Hope they have
Next
Wi-Fi.
Next week we're doing the show by ourselves. Excuse me, I'm getting all choked up here.
That's too bad.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I'm starting my podcast. It's called Valid Syntax. You can find it at validsyntax.com. You can subscribe at validsyntax.com/rss.php.
What's it about?
It is about, I'm getting into that, Chuck.
I'm just playing the link thing here.
I know. But listen here. Anyway, what I'm doing is it's going to be a short 10-minute podcast. I'm going to be following the open source projects for any OS, so not just Linux. but for OS X and Windows and whatnot. Following the news of projects as they're released on freshmeat.net and SourceForge and some others. So they'll be open source to everybody. Maybe you'll come and find something new for yourself.
Cool.
I've already found a couple of things that coming through that news that I didn't even know it really was there. So this is awesome.
It's interesting what happens when you start a podcast, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
One of my favorite lines is, if you want to know something really well, teach it.
Yeah, that's kind of the experience I've had in the IT business. It's like, oh, he's messed with it. He must be the expert.
You will be. If they start coming to you with questions, you will be.
That's right. Just smile and act like you belong, buddy.
Now can we go home?
Sure. Take us out, Chuck. I can't do it.
He's suffering tonight. If you want to reach us on the listener line, it's 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. Boy, I haven't done this in a long time. You can email us at chuck@chuckchat.com or audio comments, chuckchat@gmail.com. You can email Craig, that's Craig with a K, K-R-E-G at chuckchat.com. Or don't forget to visit the website. Turn that down a bit. I haven't done this in a while. Usually Craig's going on. www.chuckchat.com for all the forum, swag, webcam, mail list, links to the show notes, and much, much more.
That's right.
And we wish Craig gets well soon. He's got a podcast to do.
It's getting better. It's just I'm having a little fallout from the rest of this cold.
Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed, head on over to the website and click on the appropriate link to get this in your podcatching client automatically. Until next time, binary high five.
101.
There's an old Vulcan proverb. Only Nixon could go to China.